The technology boost in the Haynes School offers more opportunities and fun. And Representative Keto talks Chilkoot congestion and Skagway erosion. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. The question of whether to purchase a significant amount of new laptops, iPads, and smart boards turned contentious for the Haynes School Board last year. There were concerns about young kids being overexposed to technology, but teachers testified the tools would help individualize learning. The Engage the Future technology push ended with the board approving one-to-one devices in grades 5 and up. That means each student gets their own computer, along with more iPads and smart boards for elementary grades. KHNS's Emily Files went to Haynes School to see how teachers and students are using the new technology.
So what's happening on the screen?
You're trying to make it go to that radio controller. You can program it right, and then you read it.
Second grader Nolan Wald is using an iPad to do something not every seven-year-old knows about, coding. He's typing in angles and directions to make an animated character follow a certain path.
Remember when we talked about snowboarding?
Yeah.
And they do a complete turn on snowboarding?
Right.
Right, 360s. So is this guy have to go all the way around?
Yeah.
Sarah Haddad is the school's technology and innovation coordinator. She meets with a group of 10 second graders twice a week to learn coding. They call themselves the Number Ninjas.
You know, it's a game format where it looks like something they're familiar with as a video game, but really it doesn't do anything unless you give it the directions, the correct directions. So
this is one example of how technology is becoming more integrated into teaching at the Haynes School. Haddad has been a big part of that. Her position is new this year. It was part of the package when the school board approved $96,000 worth of new technology. Former Superintendent Ginger Jewell pitched the grant-funded position as someone who would work with teachers to utilize the technology.
I talk with them and I'm, you know, what do you have coming up? What units do you have coming up and what can I do for you? And that's the thing that they don't have the time to do is look for those sorts of things. They're all out there, but I spend my time finding stuff and then I bring it back to them and then they choose what works for them and what doesn't. And then they have time to concentrate on their classes.
New things this year would really include the Mystery Skype. That's been a fantastic way to study geography. It doesn't get any better than that.
Kristen White teaches third grade. Her students use the classroom smart board, which is like a digital whiteboard, to Skype with schools in different states. They have to guess which state the kids live in by asking questions about geography or other distinguishing features.
Does the name of your state have an O in it?
We do have an O in our building.
This is from a Skype call in late November.
Are you Oklahoma?
No.
We have a guess. Are you Alaska?
Oh, no.
Studying a map can be something that's not really exciting for students, but when you bring it to life with actual people and make it into a mystery, they feel like detectives. And so that's been a wonderful way to bring it to life.
White says Mystery Skype has made teaching more engaging for students. She wagers that her third graders know more about geography than many of the adults walking around Haynes. Technology coordinator Haddad has helped teachers find new tools to enhance instruction, but just having the new technology has increased access, and teachers say that makes a big difference.
So we shared one cart of 25 computers for grades 6, 7, 8.
Lisa Andreessen teaches 7th and 8th grade English and social studies.
I just think it's given more of a variety of how I can teach and more variety for different ways for kids to learn.
It's also helped her organizationally. She started using Google Classroom for turning in assignments and providing homework materials. Andreessen also records some of her lessons on YouTube for students who need reinforcement.
Okay, this is how you do Cornell-style notes while you are reading your novel.
Middle school science teacher Patty Brown agrees that students having their own devices has helped her teaching.
It has been a real boon to have access on demand to computer carts, so the one-to-one program for 5th and 6th has been a giant breakthrough.
But Brown says she has had some challenges with integrating the technology.
I'm more of a hands-on live show thing, but I see tremendous opportunities. There's amazing things that are on the web.
Brown is one of the teachers who attended some of the meetings where parents spoke out against more technology. She says she appreciates their concerns.
I don't feel like they were criticizing or being ungrateful in any way. I think they want balance, and hopefully we all do.
Back with the second grade number ninjas.
What does it seem like you're learning something with that game?
Yeah.
What does it seem like you're learning?
It's programming them to go to the very end of the maze.
Haddad says she's aware of the over-screening fears.
You know, that's a misconception that I don't want parents to think that they're just playing games, because they're not, you know. It takes some higher level thinking that, you know, normally they don't do so much at this age.
She says it's not computer screens all day, every day. It's little bits of technology to enhance the learning that's already going on. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
In part two of KHNS's interview with Democrat Representative Sam Keto III, he talks about specific issues facing Haines and Skagway. These are ongoing concerns that he's hopeful will get some traction in the upcoming legislative session. Representative Keto says he's looking forward to the challenge of finding a resolution to Alaska's budget woes, but he's also ready to broach some issues and projects specific to Haines and Skagway. When Keto visited Skagway in July, he heard concerns from members of the Skagway Traditional Council about Taya River erosion and the need to protect some early Native graves in Dyea as a result. Keto says discussions with the National Park Service about what to do are continuing.
We don't have any resolution to that issue yet, but they are looking into it and they are trying to come up with some suggestions for alternatives.
In Haines, Keto says he's worked with state parks and the Department of Transportation about how to manage the Chilkoot River corridor more effectively. A bear viewing platform and other infrastructure have been in the works for several years, and while the design is done and the money from the state is there, the project has stalled.
That project needs some coordination between DOT and parks in order to have the right-of-way be usable. So what we're trying to facilitate is a transfer of the right-of-way from the Department of Transportation to the Parks Division so that they can manage that right-of-way as a park access and still provide for DOT to do necessary maintenance to the road as needed.
He says he's also striving to restore the Haines State Forester position to a year-round job. Budget cuts forced one forester out of work in 2015, with the second position cut significantly.
At this point, we're just trying to stabilize funding for that one forester, because there's still operations taking place that definitely need at least to have an individual in-person presence in Haines.
Community revenue sharing is safe for now, Keto says, with Walker allocating $50 million in his proposed budget for the 200 or so communities that rely on it. This year, the Haynesboro received just over $600,000, while Skagway got $430,000 from revenue sharing. The program was anticipated to get cut significantly, but this year the program paid out $57 million. Keto says he's hoping the total will get bumped up.
Governor Walker has made a commitment to stabilizing revenue sharing and has a goal of stabilizing revenue sharing at about the $60 million appropriation mark. I support that.
But so far, Keto says there's no appropriation to boost it from the currently proposed $50 million.
But I'm hopeful that the governor will live up to his commitment to make sure that revenue sharing is stable and stable at $60 million.
He says revenue sharing supports small communities and can mean the difference between towns having municipal government or not.
And I think it's very important to have revenue sharing so that we can support our municipal governments throughout Alaska.
The 29th Alaska State Legislature convenes on January 19th. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for tuning in this evening, and thank you for supporting community radio in the Upper Lynn Canal. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.